Hey, it's Super Tuesday. We've got a look at all of the choices as we prepare for our broadcast tonight beginning at 8 p.m. Eastern time. You just don't want to miss this. It's, I mean, what the Democrats, oh, the places they will go tonight on the Blaze TV. We give you all of these things, including the theories of why Chris Matthews is retiring on today's podcast. We have the latest from Dr. Robert Epstein on the rigging of the 2020 election. Texas and Biden and Beto, which is a weird combination when you throw Texas in there. A coronavirus update for you, one for the ages, because we also did profiles of courage. And my, were they... Oh, you're going to be inspired by these politicians who are so courageous. Also, we found a staff member doesn't eat Chinese food right now because they're afraid of the coronavirus. That led to about 40 minutes of just nonstop, relentless mocking that you do not want to miss.
Also, don't want to miss the mockery that's going to go on with the candidates tonight on Super Tuesday. If you happen to be listening to this on Super Tuesday, we have coverage tonight starting at 8 p.m. Eastern on blazetv.com. If you go to blazetv.com/Glenn, use the promo code GB20. There's a special code today, which is for $20 off your subscription. GB20 is that code. Make sure you go there and check out all the information that you need about who's winning, who's doing what on Super Tuesday, and also nonstop mockery of not only people who work here, but also the candidates. All tonight on Blaze TV's Super Tuesday coverage.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Welcome to the program, Mr. Pat Gray from Pat Gray Unleashed, a podcast that can be heard wherever you get your podcasts or here on Blaze TV right before this program live every day. I want to go back to Chris Matthews. He announced his retirement on MSNBC last night. I want you to just listen to this again.
Let me start with my headline tonight. I'm retiring. This is the last hardball on MSNBC. And obviously, this isn't for lack of interest in politics. As you can tell, I've loved every minute of my 20 years as host of Hardball. Every morning I read the papers and I'm gung-ho to get to work. Not many people have had this privilege. I love working with my producers and the discussions we have over how to report the news. And I love having this connection with you, the good people who watch. I've learned who you are, bumping into you on the sidewalk or waiting at an airport and saying hello. You're like me. I hear it from your kids and grandchildren who say, my dad loves you, or my grandmother loves you, or my husband watched it till the end. Well, after a conversation with MSNBC, I decided tonight will be my last hardball. So let me tell you why. Mm-hmm. The younger generations out there are ready to take the reins. We see them in politics, in the media, in fighting for their causes. They are improving the workplace. We're talking here about better standards than we grew up with, fair standards.
Stop. A lot of it has... This is crazy. This is crazy talk. This should scare Democrats to the core. You have a seasoned journalist. NBC is still bringing in Tom Brokaw. He's got to be at least 10 years older than Chris Matthews.
Easily.
They're still bringing him in. Why? Because he has a wealth of experience. He's seen an arc. You now have this network. His excuse is... And this is not the truth. I'll tell you the truth in a second. But his excuse is, you know, the younger generation, they're ready to take over. So there's no place for people with experience. There's no place for people like Chris Matthews. None. Mm. And then he goes on to say, you know, but they have fairer standards. Well, A, that doesn't sound like a fairer standard. Hey, you've had your time, Grandpa. Get out. That's not a fairer standard. That's a scary standard. But then he goes on. For the real cover. And that is, you know, I made some really inappropriate remarks at the time. They have fair standards. You know, what we thought 30 years ago was fair was not fair. Well, yeah, that was 30 years ago. There's no forgiveness for what happened 30 years ago. Now, there's been a recent claim on Chris Matthews. I don't even know how long ago it happened, but this woman came out and said, look, this was not sexual harassment. I just made me feel uncomfortable. He said, boy, you are beautiful. How come I haven't fallen in love with you before? And, you know, hey, to the makeup person, keep putting more makeup on her. And I'm never going to be able. I mean, that's a really bad compliment. Hey, mm-hmm, cover her face some more and she's pretty. But even the person who accused it said it wasn't sexual harassment. But that's what he's going out on. That's the fairer standards he's going out on. Let me tell you what really happened. Because Chris Matthews, when he said, this will be my last hardball. No, it wasn't his last hardball. It was the last 3 minutes on air. Because when he went to break, Steve Kornacki came in and he replaced in the show. They went to break. Chris Matthews is gone and Steve Kornacki is taking, and he appeared shocked by it. Some of his first words were, that's an awful lot to take in. That was an awful lot to take in. Well, yeah. So Chris was allowed to say goodbye to his audience. Now, that is rare in and of itself. If they're firing you, no network allows you to go back on the air, which reminds you, I would like to remind you, I believe there were 4 or 6 months of shows I did after Fox supposedly fired me. Not possible. Doesn't happen. They let him do a 3-minute segment that was scripted. And I'm sure that there were things like, you're going to lose all your severance, all everything. You'll lose all benefits unless you shut your mouth and say only that. He did. So why did this happen? It happened because CNN is the establishment network that uses revolutionaries. MSNBC is the revolutionary network that uses the establishment. And the revolutionaries are done with the establishment. When Chris Matthews said last week, Bernie Sanders taking over the Democratic Party and winning like he's winning is like the Nazis taking France. That was the death knell. Nothing else.
Yep.
Nothing else. You do not speak against the revolutionaries at NBC. That's what it was. And I have to tell you, Chris Matthews has said horrible things about me. He also, before he went to work for MSNBC with the revolutionaries,
was a fan.
He was a fan. I listened to him every day. He said, I listened to him every day. He's one of the brightest men on radio, blah, blah, blah. He said all of those things about me. Then he started falling in with the revolutionaries, and all of a sudden, I'm the worst person in the world. I don't change for money. I don't change for the wins. I don't change. Chris Matthews, you embarrassed yourself with the way you behaved with the revolutionaries, and you are now paying that price that I told you would come. You're lucky to get out of there before anything worse happens, because those revolutionaries are now talking about fulfilling my prophecy from Fox when I said they're going to come in and drag you out of your studio and into the streets and beat you to death. I was wrong. They're now, Bernie Sanders supporters are now saying they'll set you on fire in the street. So you're lucky you got out before all of that. You were on the wrong side. But it's a sad day to see a guy who has that long of a career, who has at times been very right and very helpful to the country, even though I've disagreed with him.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad to see him brushed aside and forced to read a statement that is as ridiculous as that one, that the new generation is coming in. Well, all of those grandparents that were watching you, Chris, they also have a wealth of experience and a wealth of knowledge. Should they be brushed aside for this new enlightened generation? Because it doesn't seem that enlightened to me.
I think, too, I don't know how much you put on this, but here's a guy who is an old school Democrat, right?
Yes.
Here's a guy who brings up Tip O'Neill 614 times every show, right? And here's a guy who has been critical of the sort of revolutionary wing of the Democratic Party, a guy who says, who's given Sanders and Warren a hard time. You go back and read her article, the accuser, right? She says the reason she wrote the article is because he was critical of Warren. Because he didn't believe Warren in the Warren-Bloomberg exchange as to who told the truth. where Bloomberg said, I didn't say kill it, and Warren said that she that he did. And, you know, Matthew says, well, why do you believe her? And she says, well, why did you believe him? Well, first of all, he was there, right? Like, Elizabeth Warren has no information over this. She's just randomly believing the person that benefits her politically.
Correct.
Right? That's the only reason Elizabeth Warren believes
and
her.
And she couldn't care less whether he said kill it or not.
No. Why would
she
care?
So disingenuous anyway.
She's been encouraging people to kill it for how many years?
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's actually a positive in her party. The point is that when he crossed that line from being helpful to the revolutionaries,
he's done,
right? That now all of a sudden is no longer a positive outlook for his career, and now he's gone. She's outwardly saying it's because of Warren.
I think this should be remembered not as the Chris Matthews program, but the Chris Matthews program, because that's what's happening at NBC. There is a program that is going to get rid of all of the establishment voices. Anybody who is, at least on MSNBC, anybody who is not down with the radicals. Again, CNN is the establishment power. That's the network of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, and they excuse the revolutionaries. NBC has been the revolutionary power. They embrace that, and they've excused the Chris Matthews and the Nancy Pelosi's. Those excuses now are over. And if you think that the revolutionaries won't come for you, well, you're a fool, because they're starting to come for anybody now, like Chris Matthews, who has anything other than lockstep parroting in mind.
Yeah, could you imagine this 5 years ago?
No.
No way.
No way.
No way. This has happened really fast. Really, really fast.
Next 4 years are going to be really, really interesting. Let's see who they come up with 4 years from now. How radical will that person be?
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and you're listening to the Glenn Beck Program. If you like what you're hearing on this show, make sure you check out Pat Gray Unleashed. It's available wherever you download your favorite podcasts. All right, Robert Epstein was with us yesterday on the program. He's a very distinguished scientist. He was the head and chief editor of Psychology Today. He's got his psychology degree from Harvard. He is very, very well respected and published until he started tracking what Google was doing. And once he started tracking what Google and Facebook were doing, especially in the case of the election, he started to become very, very worried, because what he found was they can manipulate and have manipulated our elections already. And they can dramatically change the outcome. He said in his latest op-ed that the Republicans have almost no chance of winning. No matter how bad the other candidate is, no matter how good we are, you have almost no chance of winning. If it's even close, 5 percentage points anywhere in the country, advantage Democrats because of what high tech will do. He's going to be on a special with us tomorrow on our Wednesday night special, where we're going through all the things that are happening to our election that no one's paying attention to. Forget about Russia. Well, don't forget about Russia. You know, make sure we're paying attention to Russia. But that's not the biggest problem. This is. Doctor, welcome to the program. Glad you're here.
It's nice to be back. I think it's only been a few hours since I was on last.
I know. Well, I want to make sure that you are getting the funding that you need to be able to monitor. You said yesterday while you were on that there is something new that you have discovered that they look like they're doing. We're talking Google, Facebook, anybody with an algorithm and a social media platform, YouTube, Twitter. And you're saying that there's something new they're doing that is really insidious. You want to explain?
Yes, and just to preface that, let me point out that I study these effects you know, after I discover them, which is, you know, which is a hit and miss, I have to say. But I study these effects one at a time. I think I just got to make this point. In other words, I find out something that can shift opinions, like bias in search results or bias in search suggestions, or those little answer boxes that they show you at the top of a page of search results, or, you know, bias in news feeds, whatever it is. I study these things one at a time. But in reality, they're all being used
at the same time.
And so I don't even know what happens when you have, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 different types of manipulation running simultaneously. So now, with that preface, let me say that the new technique that we are following now, that we're studying and trying to quantify, we call it YME, the YouTube manipulation effect. It turns out that YouTube is possibly the most powerful manipulation tool.
I believe that.
In the online manipulation universe. And I first started getting concerned when a 2-minute video was leaked a few months ago from Google. It shows the head of YouTube, Susan Wojcicki, talking to her staff. This was literally someone who improperly recorded her and then walked out with the video. And she's talking to her staff, and she is showing diagrams up on a big screen, and she is saying that after the 2016 election, we decided we better straighten out our YouTube algorithm. This is a Google secret up next. It's called the up next algorithm, the one that suggests the video you should watch next. And she explains, we're aggressively altering our up next algorithm that suggests what you should watch by pushing up in ranking, and she's got a big up arrow, the content, the videos that we think are authoritative, and pushing down, and she's got a big down arrow, pushing down the videos that we think are not authoritative. And I thought, wow, that's pretty blatant.
Yeah, because I wonder how they put Bernie Sanders. Is he authoritative or not?
Well, that's the thing. You see, unless we are, this is all ephemeral stuff. Meaning,
right.
You know, it's just generated on the fly just for you. And who keeps track of the sequence? I mean, no one does. So unless we're tracking this, we don't really know for sure what they're showing people. You have to track this stuff. You have to monitor. But then I learned that currently around the world, and this blew me away, 70% of the videos that people watch on YouTube are suggested by that up next
Unbelievable.
Algorithm. 70%. So what this means is Google has the power to send people down rabbit holes, literally send them down rabbit holes by watching a sequence of videos. And of course, people have no idea that there's any bias associated with these videos.
So I just want to say, you know, there's this old movie, I'm sure you remember, maybe you don't, The Manchurian Candidate, where they had indoctrinated somebody and they had taken him and really done a number on him to get him to believe certain things, that he had to go and kill somebody. And I've, for years, I have said Google in time will have the power, because they'll be able to target, and I'm not suggesting they're doing this, but they could target individuals because they would know more about that individual than that individual knows. And you could sway them one way or another to do good or to do evil, whatever it is. But that Manchurian Candidate, this is technology now that in the 1950s, our CIA and the Soviets would have killed to have, to be able to manipulate not just one individual, but a lot of individuals, maybe an entire country or world, and move them in one direction or another. This has never, ever been able to be done anything like this. Am I getting this right?
Yes, that's the last element here that makes this so scary, is that Google has, if you've been using the internet for, you and I are, we're as old as dirt. So if you have been using the internet for 20 years, Google has the equivalent of 3 million pages of information about you. 3 million pages. It sounds impossible, but it's actually true. There was actually a study done by The Guardian in the UK looking at the quantity of information that Google has. So they know exactly who you are. They know how to influence you. And the point is, if you ever get on YouTube, they can take you in any direction they want if you're vulnerable. In other words, if you're undecided on some issue, they can take you down a rabbit hole. But the point is, we are actually in the process now, it's extremely exciting what we're doing, of attaching numbers to this effect. In other words, we're actually measuring very, very precisely how much power this technique has to shift opinions, to shift purchases, to shift votes. And I won't have solid numbers, I think, until sometime in April. But the point is, we've got the thing running now. It's taken months to set this up. And it's tremendously, tremendously exciting. Because, again, who is studying this? Who is quantifying this?
Nobody.
Right. And of course, what I want to do is, if I can get the resources, is I want to monitor this in those final months leading up to the 2020 election, because I am quite certain that given the level of individual targeting that Google and to some extent Facebook, to a lesser extent Twitter, given the individual targeting that they can do, given how much they know about you, that means they can identify state by state by state, swing state by swing state, swing county by swing county. They can identify who the vulnerable people are, who the people are who are not yet committed, who have not yet decided. And they, at an individual level, can use a dozen or more subliminal techniques to shift their opinions and their voting preferences with no one knowing that they're doing so, and without leaving a paper trail for authorities to trace.
So I think I may have asked you this yesterday, but I would like you to, I'd like you to clarify on something. I have friends who are, you know, they're deep, 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 deep thinkers to the point to where it's like, okay, shut up. I'm tired. I can't think that. But they are deep thinkers. And I have been watching conversations that are happening that I found at first perplexing. This argument about free will, that free will exists or free will doesn't exist. I really thought that we had solved that, you know, in the Enlightenment period. But when I started realizing what they're really talking about, because a lot of them are kind of, you know, Google kind of, you know, Silicon Valley people, what they're really talking about is this idea that free will is a thing of the past, that you don't know where that idea came from or that action came from, because we're going to be living in a world of constant manipulation.
Yes, but, you know, I understand that this issue drives people crazy. I understand that. I've actually written about this issue. But let me give you the bottom line on this issue, okay? If you are being subjected to controls that you can see, then you
have free will.
Because you feel like someone's challenging your free will.
Correct.
So you can push back.
Correct.
And you feel like you have free will and all that. The problem comes when you're being subjected to forms of control that you can't see. Now, you don't know what. I mean, the point is, you don't know what you don't know, right? So you have no idea that moment to moment in time, right? There are other people or other algorithms controlling what you do, determining what you think, what you buy, your attitudes, your beliefs, who you vote for. If you can't see those forces of control, then at that point, if you do feel like you have free will, and you probably do, it's an illusion. It's a complete illusion. So that's the point we're at now. If there is free will, it's just an illusion these days, because, in fact, you're being subjected to very, very powerful forms of control that have never existed before and that you cannot see.
All right. I want to give your address because I cannot recommend strongly enough that if you have money and you want to be involved in something, you know, we free slaves with the Nazarene Fund and with OUR. We have been doing, you know, work in different places all around the world and in the country, just helping people get back on their feet with Mercury One. This is critical for democracy and for our republic. If we lose the vote and we are being manipulated without our knowledge, without any measurement on it, we are done as a free people. I want you to go to mygoogleresearch.com and make a pledge to help, even if it's $5. If you can do one, you know, every month, whatever you can do, I need you to help him put this together, and he needs a ton of money. We're going to need a lot of people doing this. Please go to mygoogleresearch.com and help Dr. Epstein monitor. This will be the whole ball of wax. We lose this, we lose everything. Doctor, we'll talk to you tomorrow on the TV show. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Glenn, and thank you so much for your support. And we got a ton of donations yesterday, and I just don't know how you do it. You must have the most amazing listeners in the world.
We do. They actually care. Thank you so much, Doctor. I appreciate it. Please go to mygoogleresearch.com. This is critical that this is done, and nobody's helping, at least at this point. Hopefully on Wednesday, we may have an announcement for you on Wednesday's show on that. You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program. It's Super Tuesday, and people, it is super. It's super the choices we have. You have Bernie Sanders, you have Joe Biden, and Elizabeth Warren. And Michael Bloomberg.
And Tulsi Gabbard. So nice.
And an asterisk. This is crazy that out of 350 million people, those four people are the best the Democrats can do. That's
amazing. It is incredible. It really is. I mean, that is a terrible field.
Terrible.
Again, Joe Biden is the youngest man in the competition still at 77.
So you also have Joe Biden last night in Texas with Beto, who is the saddest, most pathetic story I've ever seen, really. I mean, the guy went from, he's a superstar, he's going to be the next Jack Kennedy, to, oh my gosh, can somebody take him off the stage and stop making people look at him because this is an embarrassment.
Yeah.
I mean,
he went to hero to zilch in seconds.
Yeah, hero to zero, the biggest zero I've ever seen. He didn't have a core. That's his problem. He became anything he thought people wanted him to be.
Yeah, the second people actually looked at him, he went away.
Yeah.
And the only reason he did well in Texas is because, you know, there's a decent amount of, obviously, Democrats don't like Cruz. And there was a little bit of energy behind him. He had a couple of viral videos. But as soon as you had to actually look at him in a field of Democrats,
you're like, oh, boy, this guy's bad.
This guy's terrible.
Now, Joe Biden just had him on stage yesterday here in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And Biden said, quote, I'm going to guarantee you this is not the last guy. This is the last time you're seeing this guy. Then he looked at Biden. You're going to take care of the gun problem with me. You're going to be the one that leads this effort. I'm counting on you. We need you badly.
To Beto.
This is the guy who said, hell yes, I'm going to take your guns in Texas. Now, the problem that people need to be wide awake on in Texas. Wake the hell up, Texas. They think we're Texas. We'll always be Texas. I don't have to worry. We people come here before. No, you don't. They have moved in en masse from California. There are millions, hundreds of millions of dollars being spent in Texas over the last 8 years to change Texas. You can't teach the truth about the Alamo in some districts in Texas. The Alamo! Texas is on the verge of being lost. You lose Texas, no conservative ever wins another national election, ever, because of the Electoral College in California and Texas. So what do you see happening in Texas and Super Tuesday tonight, pre-coverage tonight?
First thing it's important to understand is the way they're selecting this nominee. Now, as you know, this has been a party that's been very upset about the fact that we do not have a national popular vote, because it's upsetting that, you know, the person with the most votes wouldn't win. It's crazy.
I know. And it's also crazy
that not every vote would count.
Right.
And that is two things that they were very concerned about.
They don't like backroom dealings.
They don't like any of that.
Hey, don't cut any special deals with anybody behind our back. Let the people's voice be heard.
And they're limited by the Constitution because they have this stupid Electoral College thing in there.
Get rid of that.
We got to get rid of that. That's why when they had the opportunity to design the entire system from scratch with no restrictions whatsoever, they designed a system that, by design, eliminates millions of votes. Just they don't even count, number one. And number two, does not award the popular vote winner with the actual win. Right now, Joe Biden is in second in delegates, which is how you actually win the nomination, but he's in first in popular vote. The exact thing that they've been complaining about forever.
Joe Biden.
First in popular vote.
Wait, say it again. First in popular vote.
Second in delegates.
Second in delegates.
It's weird how that works.
That's weird.
Beyond that, they have a system that is complicated, but you should understand it for tonight. They have a viability number, which is 15%. You've probably heard that thrown around. Basically, the way they design this is you say, let's say you have four candidates. One gets 30%, one gets 20%, and two others get 10%. Okay? Just to throw out numbers. The two at 10% get immediately eliminated. So every single vote that is not for those top two candidates gets thrown away. Just think about that concept for a second. If you vote for anyone who has 14% or less, your vote does not count in the primary.
Don't even bother going.
Yes. Now that is...
That could be Bloomberg tonight in some states.
In a lot of states, yeah, because he's right around 17-18%. Yeah.
And if these
he may not be viable.
Yeah, if these polls have changed since South Carolina, he's not going to be viable. So you go out and vote for Joe. You go out and say, well, you know what? I want Bloomberg instead of Biden. If it's at 17% in your state and you haven't seen a late poll, Biden's poll numbers may have gone up, which would have affected Bloomberg's. You may be throwing your vote away. That's how crazy the Democratic primary is.
It is. And just to prove how hypocritical and how they don't mean these things at all when they talk about the Electoral College. If they had won a couple of elections on the Electoral College and lost the popular vote, they would be saying the exact opposite.
Yep, they would have.
Because they don't mean any of it.
Correct.
Any of it.
Correct.
And it proves it here because they could design it however they wanted.
If Bernie Sanders had the popular vote, but Joe Biden had the delegates, they would be saying the exact opposite. Today.
Whatever they need to say.
Whatever they need to say.
Yep, at any given moment.
Yep.
Now, the system works on districts as well. So it's not just statewide. It works on districts as well. So if in your district, you get to 15%. Even if you only have 10% over the entire state, you could still get some delegates. The problem is if you're right around 15% statewide, you will make it in some districts and miss it in others, and you'll get destroyed. This is the stuff that this happened to Tom Steyer because he got about 11% of the vote. He was able to get close to 15% in a lot of places, but he never crossed it. And if you don't cross 15%, you get what he got, $250 million and zero delegates. So that's a problem. The other part of this is interesting. So when you knock out, let's say, the two candidates that had 10% of the vote, what's remaining is one at 30 and one at 20. So they then divide that as if that's the entire vote. So all the other votes get thrown in the trash, and the only votes are left is that 50%. What group of that 50 did you get? So you'd get three out of every five votes. If there was 50 delegates available, the person who had 30% would get 30 delegates. The person who had 20% would get 20 delegates. Whatever of that percentage is remaining for the statewide vote, and that happens on every district as well. So again, you can see how complicated this gets. In addition to that, there are super delegates and those other things, but that will only happen the at the contested convention.
Now. Right, and the super delegates can override everything.
Well, they can't. I mean, in a close election, they could. It has to get to a second ballot, though.
Right. If so, it's, I'm talking about a brokered convention. You just said they really play a role in brokered convention. Yes, and they can change their loyalty. It just comes down then to a handful of people after the second ballot, or after the first ballot, isn't
yep.
it?
Yeah, first ballot.
After the first ballot, they're free from all of their obligations. They're supposed to vote the way the state told them to vote, the people told them to vote. But after that first ballot, if that doesn't give a nominee, they're free agent. So now you have a super group of well-connected establishment people picking the nominee.
Incredible.
I mean, this is your free and fair election party.
Right.
This is your democracy. One vote, one person, one vote party.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's key to watch is how many people get above that 15%. So if you think of it this way, let's say Bloomberg finishes at 14%. And Warren, by the way, is in the same position. She's right around 15% in some of these states. If they finish at 13 or 14%, their votes are, they get zero delegates. They're out of the money, essentially. They're done. If they get 16%, they're in the money. So if you think of it this way, if those two candidates squeak above that 15% margin, you might be dividing the delegates by four. If they're below it, you're only dividing it by two. So there's a huge difference there as to what the gap is between those top two candidates, where, you know, Sanders might be plus 20 delegates in one scenario and plus four
in
another.
So give me the two states that really matter. And this, again, why we have Electoral College.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, just pay attention to Texas and California. The two states tonight that really matter, because there's, what, 500 and there's almost 600 delegates available, right?
Yeah. After tonight, we'll be at about 37%
okay.
of total delegates awarded.
So how do you see those two based on the latest polls and knowing that these could change and they have been changing, but we don't have any more recent numbers than what he's going to give you? Are they going to be splitting those two states four ways or two ways, do you think?
So you're talking about
Texas and California.
Yeah, and that's about, between them, 16% of all the delegates in the entire election are in those two states that will be decided tonight.
Half of everything that you can win tonight is won in those two states.
Right. Almost. Almost, yeah. So California is going to be, is the most important, but also probably the least interesting for tonight.
The
polls close at 11 o'clock tonight, Eastern. And there's tons of mail voting, not just dudes. I mean, like, you're mailing in
mail voting.
Yeah, mail only voting. It's one of those things where you're sending in an actual, ballot by mail. And so it could be days before we know what the actual delegate count is in California. Sanders is heavily favored to win there. The question is margin. And the question is how many people will get above that threshold. You know, Warren is right there. Bloomberg is, it's possible Biden should get over the threshold and get some delegates there. But Sanders should win that state relatively easily, is at least what the polls look like.
If he doesn't have anybody over the threshold of 15, which I don't think is possible, do you? So Biden should do better.
Biden, I think Biden will make it, but that's a huge issue if he doesn't.
Then all the delegates would go to Sanders, right?
There's a chance, in theory.
That's
now remember, it goes down to district level.
Yeah.
So only there's a 144 state delegates in California and 271 district.
Okay.
So these guys will cross 15%
okay.
in some of the districts.
Yeah,
so all get something.
Got it.
But it's not like winner take all in Republican states. They do a lot of those winner take all. It does not happen at all in the Democratic race. The latest poll that came out, and this is was Sanders at 29, Biden at 21, Bloomberg at 19. So in theory, those three would split the delegates from the state level. And, you know, at 29, 21, 19, there's not that big of a gap, honestly, between how many delegates you're going to get. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be that big of a deal. Warren is at 10 in that poll. Now, can she get to 15? It's possible. It's only one poll. In Texas, the latest poll has it at Sanders 28, Biden 27, Bloomberg 20, and Warren 12. I would say, again, Warren very close to that threshold and would make a big difference if she actually crosses 15. The other thing to think about there is the momentum of the way the experts are thinking, the polls are thinking, is that Bloomberg is not going to hold at 20. People are going to switch from Bloomberg to Biden last minute. And if so, that would likely hand the state to Biden.
I think Bloomberg could go down below the threshold of 15 easily in Texas.
Yeah.
And all of those numbers go right to Biden. Biden is, this is his last chance. Everybody wants to believe. You know, I think the establishment, Democrats, and those who are not Marxists, and there's less maybe in Texas than I fear than the rest of the country, but I have no idea. But yeah. I think that in Texas, I think there will be a big push for Biden of hoping that he could make it all the way. You know what I mean? They want him to be the guy. They just don't have the confidence that he is the guy. If they can con themselves into thinking, yes, he's the guy, I think it will help. And you'll see a big, big bubble for Biden tonight.
And I would argue, too, this is probably the most interesting night of the entire primary. It can set it up into either it's going to be a contested convention, one or the other could win. The other part I would just add on to this is that this is the only time you're going to see a massive change in the election from South Carolina to today, only 3 days in between and not enough time to actually get quality polling.
Yeah.
So they really don't have any idea what's going to happen tonight.
So tonight you can watch all of our coverage and we'll explain it all to you. We'll have some fun. There may be some drinking involved. I'm not sure. Super Tuesday tonight. Our coverage begins at 8 p.m. Eastern. BlazeTV.com/Glenn. Use the promo code GB20 and save $20 on your yearly subscription. Well worth the price.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
I don't even know what to say. I found out during the break that there is somebody here on our staff that refuses to eat Chinese food because,
oh my gosh,
they believe that they may get coronavirus. Now,
this is insanity.
I want to just say, yes, there is in Wuhan, there is a Chinese restaurant that in the basement has an elevator, and that elevator goes down through the core of the earth and all the way up to our Chinese restaurants here. It's where they get all of the bats and everything that they use in Colonel Chow's chicken, not general,
just the Colonel Chow. Yeah.
And they get all the bat wings and everything right directly from that elevator that goes, you know, through the center of the earth directly to China. How can you not eat Chinese food here? You're expecting it? What?
I don't even understand it.
You know they're all flying over there.
Well,
really? Are they more than the people that are, you know, flying over to Europe or whatever because they're working at a Chick-fil-A or a McDonald's and they've got their family over in Mexico or... You worried about that one?
I also have this weird suspicion, and I can't prove this.
Yeah.
That people... Now, because the idea being that... I guess the theory being that because Chinese people work at Chinese restaurants, and they have relatives in China that they might visit, get coronavirus, come back, and I guess get it on your General Tso's chicken. I guess that's the theory behind this maneuver.
Right, yes, yes.
However, this is in a stunning development. We have uncovered evidence that Chinese people don't just work at Chinese restaurants.
Shut up.
They seem to work at restaurants all over the place.
Shut up.
Almost like all the other races and all the other nationalities.
Crap. They're not working at a Sbarro's, are they?
It could. It could
because
happen.
I've done my research. I haven't had any Italian food at any place except a Sbarro's because there's no Italians that have ever been anywhere near a Sbarro's. So I'm totally cool. But now you tell me that there might be Chinese people that work at the Sbarro's. That dude might be infected.
And here's the thing. People that you know that aren't Chinese, they're eating at Chinese restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
So you're with them every day. You are not protected. There's no level of protection here.
You're going to tell me like the Iranian authorities have to tell their people that there's not a doorknob that you can safely lick.
Look, to me, all doorknobs can be safely licked. I think that's also
I think that's crazy, right? That's crazy. I mean,
that's obviously nuts.
Don't have Chinese food because Chinese people might work. That is, what is it? It's 1941?
I will say, there are this COVID-19 coronavirus situation is making people insane.
Your wife is nuts and she's got to stop.
I love her and she's very terrified over this.
She's got to stop. She is out of her mind crazy.
She gets every once in a while, every few years, there's a big media story that legitimately freaks her out. I'll give you an example of this. On our honeymoon, it was the DC sniper story was like in full effect. You remember the story where there's the guy was in the back of his car and he was shooting people at gas stations as they were pumping their gas. And she was freaking terrified over this. Now, we were not anywhere near Washington, D.C.
Where were you?
We were in South Carolina.
That's not a suburb of Washington,
no.
D.C.
I mean, no. unless you really want to expand the definition of suburb.
It's three large states away.
It's some
distance. Yes, it is.
But it was one of those things that every time you're pumping gas, it was like, you know, you had to like hide behind the car or something because who knows? You never know. And look, it was a scary situation. If I was around D.C., would you have a moment of thought about it?
Pat's son was living in D.C. in the area where those shootings were happening. And that I could understand. He was freaking out. My son is there.
Right. But even that, right?
Right.
Like, the chances of anything happening to you are so low. It's almost impossible to guard against it.
Uh-huh.
And the situation here is the same thing. You can take basic precautions. Of course, you should wash your hands. You should do the basics. Avoiding particular genres of restaurants does absolutely nothing for you. There's no possible improvement.
Hang on. Do we have the profiles of Courage Music? Because Stu's going out on a limb here.
I will eat Chinese.
You will eat Chinese food.
Where is it? It's in Italy too.
In Italy.
I will go to.
How about Croatian?
If I knew what Croatian food was,
right.
I would eat it.
Sushi? Will you eat sushi?
Sushi?
From Japan.
I mean, again, we're getting down areas.
South
that
Korean. I love South Korean food. I love Korean bulgogi. One of my favorite foods. I'll eat it. You can put it with a guy who's like. Here's your bulgogi. I'll still eat it.
Right.
I'll still eat it. It's that good.
We've all seen the like behind the scenes video of restaurants in action.
Yeah.
And then like it makes you sick for 3 minutes until you pull through the drive through.
Right.
That's I feel like.
Right. I mean,
if you're willing to get through that and order food and eat it, just because there's a possibility that someone. By the way, there's a lot of non-Chinese people who work at Chinese restaurants. I don't know if you've noticed this.
No.
Yeah, it's crazy.
No.
That the possibility.
Say it's not so.
Wait, I love the idea of this. You order a General Tso's chicken, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then that order goes to someone, right, who happens to be Chinese, who happens to have traveled to, I guess, Wuhan recently, who's picked up coronavirus, who's come back, and is now somehow going to pass it on the cooked food, by the
way. Right.
It's cooked to hundreds of degrees.
He also somehow or another bypassed all of the sequestering.
Yes,
he got onto a plane which doesn't fly anymore.
No.
Got past all of the sequestering. Somehow, well, they're short, they're small, so they could probably the searchlights where they had all in pens probably didn't catch him because he's so short. And he
considering the level of stereotyping going on with this person,
right,
I'm surprised they didn't make this point. Now,
that's so crazy.
And then you get it delivered.
Yeah.
Well, what if the delivery person is from China? Can you order Italian food that's delivered by a Chinese person? Is that okay?
How about Italian food delivered by an Italian?
Oh my God, exactly.
I didn't even know this. Tanya is full-blooded Italian.
Uh-huh.
I got to quarantine her. I got to lock her in a room.
Great point.
Maybe a basement or two. I mean, she could be infecting the entire house.
We're at the point now where there's 77 countries, was it, today, that you said in your coronavirus update?
Every continent, it's on every continent except for Antarctica.
So you can only order Antarctican food.
Right.
You're delivered by an Antarctican.
Penguins. You have to have it delivered. You can only eat penguin delivered by a penguin.
Which is a psychotic job to give to a penguin. Let's be honest with you. It's just not even cool.
Hey, there are some jobs most penguins won't do. It's a good thing they're shipping in the Argentinian penguins onto Antarctica.
Oh,
they'll
okay.
do it.
They'll do it.
They'll
they
like, I'll slaughter
them.
those penguins. Sure. They don't even know how to wear a tie properly. Look at them. They're wearing color around their neck. That's black tie only. They'll do it. They'll do it.
They will.
They will. They don't like those emperor
penguins. Those bastards.
Those bastards and their emperor. No way.
No, they don't care.
No. So
this is a revealing thing. I feel like we've learned something about this person.
I feel we learned
something
a lot.
Very straight.
Look, if anyone, if you want to remain my friend, do not tell me you haven't gone to a Chinese restaurant or an Italian restaurant or anything like that. Don't tell me that, because it makes me question you a lot, a lot.
I there is a level, I think.
Yeah. This is, if this was a more woke company,
oh yeah,
it'd be fired.
Oh gosh, we'd have no employees.
We'd have no employees. No employees.
There's a level of like media freakout though that I think pushes people to make decisions like that. Like, that is not, is that not a logical decision, right? There's no way to logically.
Have you taken into consideration,
yes,
the fact that all Chinese restaurants have access to that elevator directly through the core of the earth to China?
I think we should think about it.
Okay.
Is it like a bank tube type of situation?
It's like a bank tube.
Okay.
You know, and they just...
Well, that's a vacuum, though, so we should be okay.
Want some general chow? No, it's a vacuum, so the earth doesn't cook it out when it's, you know, in the million degree temperatures through the... It's just in that vacuum tube, and, you know, they're like, hey, we need some more general chow. And then it travels down. General chow, general chow, general chow. Whoop. And it comes from Wuhan.
See, I didn't even know that's how Chinese food
got
here.
You don't think we make that crap here, do you?
No, I really should have thought this out.
Can't get Americans to make that stuff.
No, that's
no
true.
No potatoes in it.
It's a very strange way to make a decision.
It is.
On what you eat.
It is. It is.
I don't know.
Can we ask this person if they have an enormous amount of toilet paper suddenly in their house?
Just one wing of the house is filled with toilet paper. What's the
deal? We might run out of toilet paper. You're really not going to run out. Now, I will tell you that the toilet paper thing even makes more sense than the I'm not eating at a Chinese restaurant.
Oh, completely. By the way, where's toilet paper made? A lot of it's not made here. Where do you think it's coming from? Where do you think almost everything you buy is coming from? Right. It's all coming from China.
And you know what? I
got
to tell you. I got to tell you. I don't know. I don't care to know. I'm not going to discuss it. But if you get with this at some point, what my grandmother used to call either the Hershey squirts or the quick steps. I love that one.
It's much better.
The quick steps. Mm-hmm. You need toilet paper.
Right.
Lots of toilet
paper.
Like a room full, maybe half your garage. Take your car out and park it outside because I've got all of the toilet paper I might need in case of a shutdown.
Like, this segment actually makes me want to go buy excess toilet paper, because what you're doing is not worrying about whether toilet paper should be purchased or there'll be a run on it. You're worrying about people like the person we're discussing, who thinks, oh my gosh, I need to go get toilet paper, and they're going to wind up buying all the toilet paper, and then there's none left.
Right.
So you're predicting the actions of the insane person.
America, go buy toilet paper. Go buy lots and lots of toilet paper. Okay. I hope this person that works with us wasn't listening to this, because
I don't think
they're going to go shoot themselves after this. Just a bad person. I'm just a really bad person.
They can
racist.
Either shoot themselves or order Kung Pao chicken. Either one, same risk.
Same
factors.
Risk. That's like Russian roulette. What are you going to do? I'm going to put a bullet into my head or have the Kung Pao.
Shotgun or beef and broccoli? One of the two. Get you to the same place.
Okay, this is going to be, if this is the way our day is starting, imagine what our coverage is going to be like at 11 p.m. tonight, okay? Our Super Tuesday
That's
coverage.
That's a great point.
Our Super Tuesday coverage, we need a Chinese food on the set. Super Tuesday coverage.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, and anybody who's on the set, you're off the set if you won't have a bite of it.
Well, okay? We'll be able to see who this person is, because they won't
we'll
eat
out
any.
Them. We'll out them.
Will they?
No, they will not. And you're gonna check your mouth, too. It's like, you know, when you're in the insane asylum and they're like, you got to take this pill, and you know it's a really bad pill that's going to make, you know, keep you crazy and keep you in the... Is this not happening to anybody but me? Anyway, we're checking the mouth to see if you swallowed it.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.